Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father Valancourt, my teacher and mentor, he always told me from the very early days when I first met him and started working my way towards the priesthood, he said regularly that as a priest, you can make all the plans in the world that you like, but then one phone call will come along and change all of them, and you have to be all right with that. Well, that was my experience this Friday, and as it didn't leave me much time in the way of exploring any other ideas other than that of the sick call, I thought it was a good opportunity to remind people of this. Thursday, I had traveled up to the Park Falls, as you know, for the mission through the snow. We had some snow on the way up there. Nothing too extreme, but you know, slowed things down a bit. Then, having gotten there and spent the night there after the mission, I was told and warned about a snowstorm coming through the state of Wisconsin, and that to make my way back here at the and be careful. Well, when I woke the next morning, I saw that there was snow falling in the middle of the state, and I sort of resigned myself to a long drive. But it wasn't super terrible until I got a little bit further south and it turned to rain. And then it was really coming down, as you all know here, very hard. But I made it all the way back to church. I pulled onto Hayes, and my phone rang. And as I was driving, and it was dark and really rainy, I didn't answer. I didn't recognize the number either. But I pulled in on the sidewalk and listened to the message that had just been recorded there. And lo and behold, it was one of the parishioners from that mission all the way up in the northern part of the state calling. They hadn't been at Mass on Thursday because of sickness. And now one of them was really not doing well at all. And they were wondering about if it was possible to receive extreme unction. I knew at that point that I was in for a really long night, as the heavy snow was now falling up there. So I didn't get out of the car at all, despite arriving at St. Hugh. Instead, 3-point turn, and back onto the road I went, driving very slowly through heavy snow and blowing winds, all the way back up to Merrill, north of Wausau, to anoint this lady. Now, the family and the woman were filled with great confidence and great joy to have me arrive finally up there. It was a little dicey at times and wasn't sure exactly if I was going to make it down the country roads up there, but we eventually made it and were able to anoint and to pray with and to give a blessing to this woman. And it reminded me that you should never hesitate to call the priest if you're in need, especially in the area of sickness. Now, I don't want a phone call at every sniffle that you may have, but when there is some seriousness to the illness, we should be the ones that you call. Too often, we think of illness only in the terms of a physical. We think of it in terms of, I feel really rotten, I just want to lay down on the couch, maybe try to get some sleep, why can't I breathe right now, and please, please don't let me throw up again. But in reality, we are not merely made out of body, but body and soul. And that soul is an integral part to our existence. It is the most important part to our existence. It is the salvation of which that we are created for. And as we suffer in those times of illness, sometimes it becomes apparent that things aren't going as according to plan, that is, as according to a normal sick sickness, and that perhaps we're actually in some peril, some danger to our life. It doesn't need to be extreme, but if we do feel we might die, possibly, well, that is sufficient. But when we are in that moment of sickness, we too often think only about what physical treatment we need. This peculiarly happens in the story of today's feast day. Juan Diego, he does the exact same thing, despite the fact for the previous 3 days, having the Mother of God descend from heaven, appear before him, and greet him face to face. Despite having this contact with heaven itself, and being given instructions by Our Lady, he falls into the trap of forgetting about eternity. After the third apparition, and Our Lady telling the bishop that she really wants a chapel built on Mount Tepeyac, he returns to Our Lady and she promises him that she'll give the bishop a sign that he won't be able to deny, and it will be a miracle so that he may believe and build the chapel she desires. He returns home, yet his uncle has been sick for a while. And so the next day he sees that he's getting worse and worse. And so he stays home and he tends to his uncle and takes care of him and gives him soup and tea and hot toddies or whatever he would be doing at that time, tequila probably, and to try to help mend him back to his shape, to health. And in doing so, he forgets all about Our Lady, and he just decides to stay home instead of going back up to Tepeyac to receive the message that he had been promised and the miracle that was due to the bishop. The next day after that, he realizes, my uncle, he's going to die. And now he's waited all the way to the point that he is on his deathbed. And he scurries off to go get the priest to come in for a last-minute anointing and hearing of confession for his uncle. But he remembers Our Lady. He skipped out the day before on seeing her. And so what does he do? Like a little child being afraid to face the consequences of his actions, he scurries around Tepeyac itself. Doesn't take the normal route over the mountain, but goes the long way because he doesn't want to be slowed down, doesn't want to hear about how he should have come yesterday, doesn't want to take that extra time. He just wants to worry about his uncle, and he goes around the mountain as if he could trick the Blessed Virgin Mary and hide from her. Of course, that didn't work, and lo and behold, she meets him down on the roadway that he's on. And she says to him, no estoy yo aquí que soy tu madre. Am I not here who am your mother? He knew at that point he had made a mistake. This is heaven. This is the Mother of God. Why shouldn't he have confidence in her? Why shouldn't he be gone right away with the need that he had, the well-being of his uncle? And so she tells him that, don't worry about your uncle. He's recovered already. You just go up to Tepeyac and pick the flowers that grow there. And so, being the obedient little child that he is, he goes up to the mountain, finds the roses in bloom, despite it being December, wraps them in the tilma, brings them down to the bishop as the miraculous sign, only to discover a greater miracle hidden therein upon his cloak. When we remember the spiritual, the physical will not be abandoned. This is the very point of extreme unction. We forget that it's a sacrament of the living. We forget that it's meant for us long before we are actually knocking on the door of eternity. No, it's to be received when there's a danger of death. And its purposes are threefold, all of which pertain to us while we are still alive. The first purpose of extreme unction is for the forgiveness of our sins. But we don't want to have that unconscious, well, we hope that he has the right disposition and this takes away any sins that he may have had. No, we want to be able to receive the sacrament of penance as well, so we can confess well, and then also have anything that we may have forgotten, anything that may remain, removed by that of extreme unction. Then secondarily is the purpose of spiritual strength to bear our illnesses. Illness is a cross. Illness is a penance. Illness is suffering due to us for our sins. And so often we forget about it and we complain about it and we think in that selfish, self-pitying type of way. Why? Why can't I breathe right now? Why do I feel so miserable? But in reality, it is because we deserve it. In reality, it is punishment for our sins. In reality, it is an opportunity to do good by offering a sacrifice. And if we aren't careful, it can cause us to fall into sin. But if prepared and strengthened, it can be a great source of virtue for us. And that is one of the purposes of extreme unction, so that we may suffer well. And thirdly, the third purpose for extreme unction is that if it's in accordance to God's will and for the good of your soul, that you will receive physical healing. It's not something to be taken as trivial. The amount of times we've seen people who are on the brink of death bounce back and recover quickly after having received extreme unction, I can't count on my hands. I can't give you a number. It happens so frequently. But people think that healing only comes from a bottle or a pill. No. Healing comes spiritually to us too. Nothing is beyond the power of Almighty God. All it took to save Bernadine, Juan Diego's uncle, was a promise and a word from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it was taken care of. God can heal, and he does. And so we should see this as not only a spiritual remedy, but potentially a physical one as well. I was very happy to get that call on Friday night. I was very happy to drive another 5.5-6 hours on top of the 4.5 that I already driven down here, because to trudge along at 35 miles an hour in the snow. And I was very happy to arrive at the bed of a very sick woman and be able to spend time giving her the sacraments and praying with her. You need not worry in these instances that you bother us, or that you inconvenience us, or that you might mess up my schedule. I don't exist for any other reason than to do exactly that. And it is the greatest reason for the priest to be here, to take care of souls. And so, please remember that. Extreme unction is something that we should all have in mind should we fall ill and have it turn more than just a normal sickness. We are ready to come, to serve, to bless, anoint, and to heal. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.